Station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6 o'clock, time for Off the Wall. And a very good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm very well. Yourself?
Not bad, not bad.
That's good to hear.
I have one word to say to you, Kyle.
Why? No, go ahead. What word?
Why do you have to throw a monkey wrench into everything? Why?
I'm listening.
One word to say to you, Kyle.
Just one?
You know, you completely derailed me. Completely derailed me.
Well?
I was going to say colonoscopy, all right? And he totally, threw me off. Feel good? Feel good about that?
Whoa.
Yeah. It was a serious talk. It was serious. You've turned it comical. You've made it into a mockery.
No.
That's why the whole healthcare of the country and the world, in fact.
I was actually.
You think so little of that you have to throw all kinds of tire irons into the mix.
I am all for a HIPAA-compliant conversation, and I believe that, yes, we can elaborate on that word.
Why did I say that word?
Perhaps in a respectful way.
I had a colonoscopy yesterday, basically, is what I'm trying to get at.
Proverbial or literal?
Like swimming upstream to get these words out. But, yeah, an actual one.
A literal.
And you were there, so you should. Well, you weren't there, but you were, giving a ride there and back because you need to do that. But, folks, this is an important procedure that everybody needs to do at some point in their life. There's nobody that's immune. Nobody doesn't get to do this at some point. Well, unless, like, you don't live past the age of 10 or something. But, no, the people who grow to be mature adults. Oh, wait, what am I saying? A lot of immature adults out there. People who can't say anything these days.
Animals don't have to do it.
People, I'm saying people, for God's sake.
Humans. Human beings.
Human beings age 50 and above. How about that?
That's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Oh, I just gave away my age. Well, I've been on the radio since the 70s, so for God's sake, people, you can figure it out. Yeah.
I thought it was 35, and then they changed it, right?
Well, it depends. It depends. If you have a family history or are in any way more prone to risk. I have somewhat of a family history, and also I've done this before, and that's why I get to compare all the procedures and technology and things like that. But they actually removed the polyp once. Which turned out to be nothing, but still, it's a big deal, and it means you have to have it checked more frequently. At one point, I had to have it checked every 6 months right after that, but fortunately, I was okay. But yesterday was the first time in a few years, and the reason I bring it up is because it's one of the best ways, one of the most effective ways to screen for signs of colon cancer, which is a big risk for many, many people. It's one of the most treatable forms, and one of the most early preventable forms. And if you, God forbid, are found to have something, technology keeps improving year by year so that what was impossible today becomes possible tomorrow. So none of us should ever lose hope. But I just want to talk about the whole build-up to this, because it really was, it took a good part of the week. You know, having to kind of change your diet so you didn't have certain things. And you saw how annoyed I got by that.
Well, there's a lot of contradictory stuff in the lists and the various sources that tell you how to prepare. But I think you navigated it pretty well.
It was driving me crazy because, yeah, you look up, okay, what can I not eat the week before a colonoscopy? One site literally said tofu is okay, and the second site said avoid tofu. So come on, give me a break here. I'm stressed out enough without having to deal with contradictory websites. And these are from health agencies saying this. So, yeah, you have to avoid things that are high in fiber and just, you know, kind of go for the bland stuff. So that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, the day before, all liquid. Yeah, you can't do any solids at all. And you have to have this neat little chemical or whatever. What do you call it? It's not a beverage. It's just two bottles of this crap that you have to drink.
Right. There's, I think you opted, too, to try some over-the-counter stuff, and then they have, like, a special blend.
There's an over-the-counter thing, which costs $3.
And magnesium citrate?
Yeah, and that really started to do a number as much as the prescription stuff did.
Mm.
So I think you could probably get away with just that. But basically, three bottles in all over the course of a day. And that cleans you out completely so that when you show up the next day, they can do a nice thorough examination without anything blocking the view. But boy, you know, the worst part of this whole thing, and for those people who have never done this, you know, dreading it, postponing it, the worst part is the day before when you're not allowed to eat anything and you have to drink this stuff, which, by the way, over the years, it's gotten a lot better. The first time I did this, I had to drink a huge amount of this vile-tasting liquid that supposedly cleans you out. It does clean you out, but it was really hard to swallow all that. And now they've gotten it down to 2 8-ounce bottles that you finish over the course of a day, plus the thing I took the night before, which apparently is optional. And then you basically show up the next day, and that's the interesting part, because A couple of times I did this, I was semi-conscious for it. You could actually watch on the camera. Some people like to do that. But apparently the doctors don't like to do that. They don't like to have people awake, so they say, no, you're going to get knocked out. And they gave me this drug, which, was it the Michael Jackson drug?
Yeah, propofol.
That's what it was? Okay.
Yeah.
Somehow you know what drug I'm taking and I don't.
You know, it was funny, the last, I helped the last time and it was this drug that they were administering for that procedure. And I was watching, I think, like a daytime show, maybe an Oprah special or something on propofol.
Because you don't have any choice. You have to sit in the waiting
room. Yeah, I was forcing it. Yeah, exactly. And here I am, like, sitting there watching daytime television talk shows talk about this drug in the context of Michael Jackson's death. And you are now being put by the very same drug. And I'm supposed to wait calmly, not, you know, have any kind of anxiety.
I'm glad I wasn't watching.
Oh, it was a real
show.
Joy.
Yeah,
that,
but you know what I was subjected to? The morning show of WALK. Now, there is
this
no...
This time?
There's no bigger hell than that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to chastise colleagues in a different radio station, but for those who don't know, WALK is the most powerful station on Long Island. You get it on your toaster oven. Everybody listens to it. You can't escape it. And apparently, as you're being prepped for a colonoscopy, that's what's being played. So you're hearing all these people, you know, talking about nonsense and trying to be cool on the air. And there's no way to escape it. Except to be put under by the Michael Jackson drug.
So you got put under by the very same drug, and then you were, did you notice anything, or did you count down, or what was the, where, what happened after that? I didn't mean to go off on that.
To me, it was torture because we have somebody in front of me, and I had to wait 40 minutes for them to get done, so I'm sitting there.
But they didn't administer it before that.
I didn't have any sleep the night before, so I was already tired. So here I am thinking, okay, so I'm about to be put under, and I've been put under before, and I try to somehow retain some semblance of consciousness while I'm being put under, because, you know, I'm very curious about this. But as far as I know, every time I've done this, I haven't been able to dream. It's just basically like a light turning out and then turning on again. But I made up my mind to try and retain as much as I could as I was drifting off. But I'll tell you, when I finally did get put in there and they administered the drug, I just felt this tingling sensation along my arms. And then literally the next thing, waking up and it's over. It's 40 minutes later and it's over. And I can't, you know, if I can remember anything, it was very, very far away. Just, you know, far awareness of something going on, maybe. And I'm not even sure that's true. So, again, like a light being turned out, and there's no way to really grab hold of anything more than that. I don't know. I'd like to hear other people's experiences if they've dreamed while being put under sedation.
I think it's different, especially depending on your body mass, exact dosage, your overall health circumstances, as well as the types of anesthesia that they're using or what combinations thereof.
Mm-hmm.
I know for dental procedures, I respond differently to different types of things. And
I just get Novocaine for dental work, so
yeah.
I never get put under. So I'm not used to this. A lot of people are. What,
no,
Michael,
I'm not
Michael
saying,
Jackson took this every night?
Yeah, I guess I'm talking about Novocaine, but there are different forms of that. I'm saying that's an example. I'm not talking about being put under.
But Michael Jackson, actually, every night when he went to sleep, this is what happened to him?
Yeah, it was his milk or whatever, the substance of choice I guess, drifting off or his inability to sleep. But really, I think what we can call it is opium addiction, really.
I don't know why anybody would be addicted to this, because it's just basically you're turned off. There's nothing there, no sensation.
Yeah. Well, it's, I guess, desirable to, and gosh, just to, for this substance person, like a celebrity, I guess, who's used to being waited on or, mm-hmm. you know, have people around him, I think that's the only way you'd have to do it is have a doctor who's on, you know, on call mm-hmm. Specifically for your habit, but it you know, and that's thus the background of Michael Jackson's death is that he was being administered this by a doctor just in a private setting under really, I think, unnecessary needs. But that's, you know, he had the means and was maintaining this habit. But it's incredibly powerful. And
it really
You can't recreationally use it. So, yeah, if he's using it recreationally, he's saying, yeah, I want to be put under, like put out, and then woken up at some point in the case was death. It just the latter didn't happen.
Right, right. I don't know if they physically wake you up after this kind of procedure or if it just wears off after a certain amount of time. I just remember, you know, opening my eyes and there was nobody right there in the same room. So they had finished doing whatever they were doing. When someone walked in, I just said to them, "What year is it?" You know, humor is not appreciated when you're coming out of this. I realize because people take things very seriously, and I guess they were concerned that I really didn't know what year it was. But if anybody was going to ask me a question like, "Who's the president?" I had some real wise guy responses prepared for that, but that never came up. But yeah, it's an important procedure, and again, like I said, everybody needs to do this at least once in their life, probably every 5-10 years after you reach the age of 50, just to keep keep track and to make sure nothing develops. It's painless. Like I said, the worst part is the prep, and the prep gets easier and easier. They even have some technological advances now where you don't have to go into the doctor. You just swallow something, and it's going to get better and better as the years go on.
Well, a lot of – they also have the analysis stuff where you're sending off samples. Mm-hmm. I've seen those ads on TV. I think a lot of people have.
I'm not ready for that. No.
Yeah, that's I've been I think doctors have recommended that since I've been visiting, and that's something they're pushing – before you go in for this procedure, because they can kind of see if you're predisposed,
right,
by doing an analysis in kind of a preventative way. But this is if you're at a high risk or something. This is then what you follow up with. But you've noted over the years, and I'm no doubt it's true. The technology for this particular procedure is improving a lot.
It really is.
Like you mentioned, the polyps being removed. I think that's like a little lasso on the end of the endoscope, and they just remove something.
I don't want to even think about that. But yeah, it's something. I mean, it's a big deal. But they're really good at it.
Be good to your guts, people.
Yeah. And I was postponing this. I was supposed to do this last year, and I just kept putting it off, and it took a full year. If you know, one person writes in to otw@2600.com and said, "Hey, Emmanuel, I scheduled my colonoscopy because I listened to this show, and I realized I should do it," that will mean a lot. That will mean a lot, knowing that we're helping people to keep track of their health. The best part is my insurance covered it, and I'm nowhere near my deductible, but apparently this is something under Obamacare that insurance companies will cover. Didn't cover the cost of the anesthesia, though, which is kind of interesting. I think what my insurance company's thinking was that I didn't need to be knocked out. I agree, but my doctor did not agree, and he said, "There is no way you're going to be conscious for this." He was very adamant about that. Basically, I just had to pay a couple $100 for the drug. Not a big deal for what I got out of it.
Oh, no option to bring your own?
I didn't ask, but that's, you know, anything, your mileage may vary. I have all kinds of other experiences.
Got some leftovers. Okay.
So anyway, I'm sorry to take up time with personal stuff, but I think it's important to everybody.
And in the even politicizing things, you know, we can all agree that your GI is important. I don't think there's any listeners out there that would find contention there. Perhaps maybe the anesthesia costs being covered by Obamacare, but that's a different discussion. And we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we sure do. We're going to do an experiment, actually. We have some new technology that we're going to be playing with that will enable us to move around a lot more, because this room has gotten too small for us. You know, it's a big room, but, you know, it's we kind of like to sometimes be in different rooms.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've concocted some – well, actually, we haven't done any of this, but the devices exist, and we're starting to play around with them. And this probably won't work. It probably will sound awful. But, Kyle, maybe you can explain what it is we're going to attempt to do.
I don't know how great a detail. Basically,
not too great a detail.
Yeah, we've got a supplemental input, and what we're testing is remote equipment that will allow us.
Yeah, that's too technical. Too technical.
Well, you said explain it. How's that not
supplemental? That's a big word. Look, you have a microphone or something. You have what is that thing you have?
Well,
you?
Eventually, I want to run through a mixer and some remote microphones, so it sounds good and we can mix it. But just for today, I'm using like a hands-free setup. But what this allows us to do is connect in a more professional way to the radio station through an app. So we have a smartphone, and I'm going to be speaking through a hands-free setup.
Okay, so you're wired into a smartphone right now.
Yep.
All right, and that smartphone is somehow connected to the radio station?
Yes, over like a broadcast-quality codec that will hopefully sound really, really good. It won't sound like I'm on a phone. And basically, we tried this years and years ago for the other radio station, and now both stations have the technology, and we're behind on playing around with it.
Somehow we help bring the technology to these places,
and
but then we never use it.
Yeah, we don't take advantage of it. So this is similar to what other programs use.
Well, we do simple radio. We do basically back and forth talking on microphones.
But I think we forget how much fun we have when we do have different capabilities. So this will be our first test. For this, I guess, studio in a pocket. Well, studio on a phone.
It's funny you should mention this because, you know, back in the day, Voice of Long Island in the 1980s, Mike Uhas and I would play around with things like this.
Sure.
Except I think we actually dragged a cord out onto the end of the bridge, or the bridge to nowhere by the old Union Building, and somebody would be out there with a microphone, and somebody would be in the studio.
This is it. And so just to let people know, I'm running this phone through another phone over cellular. So we could also connect to the campus internet, but it basically is like that, but running over regular internet instead of like a POTS line you dragging out to the parking lot or calling in on one of our studio phone lines.
So Kyle could be actually walking in the street talking on the radio while I'm sitting here in the comfort of WUSB Studios. Well, you won't really notice the difference, maybe.
That's right.
And that frees us up to do more, to grab people off the street and demand their opinions on certain things.
And indeed, because basically we already have a setup for recording our shows. A lot of our travel shows, people really like those shows. And it's a setup of basically different inputs, and we record to, like, SD and different things. We could do a live travel show. So if we're on a hot air balloon or if we're on a gondola in the Swiss Alps or if we're on a battleship or if we're under the sea, I don't know.
Under the sea? Well, I don't like that one.
We need a longer antenna.
And what's a gondola doing in the Swiss Alps?
I don't know. Do they have gondolas there? That's an Italian boat in Rome.
Yeah.
Whatever. You name it, if we can connect, which is more and more possible, and it basically would allow us to do the kinds of things we do on a recorded show, but in real time, has other production implications because we would be live and subject to things breaking and all that. But
right.
We want to play around with it, even if it's just around here in the studio. In the future, if we're covering an event or something and the station's interested in that event, we can show up and sound, I guess, okay. So now, are we going to do this? Do we sound okay?
Well,
are we going to try it?
Let's try this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring this channel up, which is a brand new channel that you just put on the board, and we might hear you.
A caveat being the software I'm using has a headset, so I would be able to hear you, but the mix minus, so the signal coming back to me is delayed, which is kind of makes sense, but we would have to troubleshoot that. So I'm not listening.
Well, I know why it would be delayed, because you're using the cell network, right? So there's always a delay on the cell
network. There's a little delay, but this sounds a little longer. It's a distracting delay. So
all right, well, we don't know what this is going to sound like, because we couldn't test it before we went on the air.
But I think the mic should be live, so whatever's returning to it won't. But, yeah, go ahead and turn my studio mic down.
Your studio mic down.
And then turn the mic on the
application. He told me to turn the mic down, and then he kept talking. I'm going to turn you back up. Finish your sentence.
And then turn the remote channel up
so
we can test out this thing and be done with it.
Please stop talking. And now I'm going to turn him down. He's down now. And now I'm going to turn him up on the other microphone, and we don't know what's going to happen. This is all part of science and radio experimentation. Here we go. Oh, I heard myself.
Hello?
Oh, Kyle, you're there, and I hear myself. A half second later.
It's picking you up.
But you sound okay. You don't sound as good as you did before.
Well, perhaps we'll have better microphones in the future, but as I said,
Hold on a second. We're hearing you through my microphone as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to turn my microphone down.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you to turn your mic down. Oh, wow. So that's a little distracting. It's like a slight network delay. But anyway,
by the way.
Yeah, I know you're here, but so this is slightly distracting, but eventually we'd be able to mix better mics. So remember, it's a hands-free setup.
Hang on a second. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cut the feed to your device, and maybe you won't hear yourself delayed when we do that. So I'm going to
cut
that right now.
Down too.
Is that any better?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
You're not hearing feedback.
Not directly.
Okay, still a delay. Does that make any difference when I hit that button?
Try it now. Oh, yeah, that's slightly less distracting.
Okay, I'm not convinced that's...
There's a lot of echo and stuff.
Now, if I cut my button, I think then it doesn't feed to your phone, but you won't hear me then over your phone. You'll just hear me in the same room. But I still hear me.
Right, and the feed to the phone I had up, I'm going to turn that off again. I can mute it on the application.
Why don't you leave this room?
Oh.
Yeah. Why don't I can put your microphone back on. Okay. No, seriously, Kyle. Leave the room.
Yes.
And let's try this in a different room and see if it's any less confusing. I know we won't hear the reverb because you won't be in the same room, so that might... And you're not connected to anything, so you can move freely.
I can move freely. I will be listening to the mix minus from the board on
delay.
Don't
say words like mix minus. Nobody knows what that means.
Mix minus.
Yeah, it's not a word.
All right, whatever. It's the feed going back. I won't be able to hear you is what I'm saying. So the feed going back is going to be on at least a couple seconds delay. It's super distracting.
I think you'll be able to hear me.
There's a slight delay when I listen to the studio headphones, but even that's distracting. Like, I sound like I'm drunk. Well, or I'm just over-caffeinated.
That's not the microphone.
Okay, I'm leaving. What do you want me to talk about? I'll read the Sony Bridge.
Just walk outside the door and let's see what happens.
All right.
The Kyle's
leaving. Take the headphones off.
Oh, you won't have headphones on, so how would you possibly hear me? That's an interesting question. Okay, well, he's walking out the door. We're going to figure this out as we go, because that's what non-commercial radio is all about. Taking him forever to get outside the door. Okay.
He's going out the door.
He's outside the door now.
So.
And I hear myself for some reason.
Walking down the hallway here.
And you're cutting out already.
Now
wow.
I'm in the conference room, me.
Okay, yeah, I see you in the conference room. You know what's in the conference room, Kyle? Microphones.
The cell phone, I left that.
There are microphones in the conference room. We don't even have to do this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see you in the conference room. And I don't know
it's
why.
It's because the phone's in there.
Uh-huh. Oh, because you left part of your whole setup here. Yeah, bring all the equipment with you, Kyle. Okay, there. He took it with him. Okay, I still hear myself.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
So distracting.
It is distracting.
Yeah, I'm on, like, super delay. So whatever you're talking about, I'm like way behind.
No, because you know why? You're listening to On Air in there. We're in real delay, too, on the radio. So that's another 7 seconds on top of the cell phone delay that we're experiencing. Wow, this is so confusing.
It's On Air. That's what I'm listening to.
All right, so you're talking to me 7 seconds from now. Wow, this is so confusing.
It's On Air. That's what I'm listening to.
All right, so you're talking to me 7 seconds from now. Wow, this is so confusing.
And I'm just staring at you, and I know I'm supposed to respond.
All right. Have we learned from this? I can't wait 7 seconds
to
answer that.
I'm supposed to respond.
All right, I'm turning you down, and I'm asking you to come back in here so we can finish our radio show and leave this to the scientists to figure out the better way to do it. Okay, you sound all right, but that feedback, we have to do something about that. It's interesting, I'll say that. You know, it's kind of cool. But
it just makes you appreciate the studio. I was going to read the Stony Brook Film Festival flyer here.
Yeah, we just got these.
Isn't this great? It smells. Can you smell that? Here, I'll just do this for the listeners. Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Smells like a brand new... film guide.
Glossy. This is definitely a glossy film guide.
It's that time of year again. The Stony Brook Film Festival happens every summer. It starts in 2 days on July the 18th, runs to the 27th. And the head honcho of the Stony Brook Film Festival will be featured on the program following us, Finn's Revolution. So stay tuned for that. It's awesome because they show some really amazing films, and it's in a huge auditorium. So you're with a whole bunch of really enthusiastic film enthusiasts, I guess, is the best way to describe them.
A huge auditorium, a huge screen, and they have great air conditioning.
Pick a film at random, Kyle, or pick a film that you think sounds interesting, and let's read about it, and maybe we even go see it.
Made in China. It's Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. That's July 23rd.
That's after our show.
This is a French film premiering for the first time in the U.S.
Wait a minute. It's made in China, but it's a French film.
It's called Made in China. It's a French film, and it's premiering here in the U.S. It's about Francois, a young French-Chinese photographer. Hasn't set foot in Paris's Chinatown or talked to his father since they had an intense fight 10 years ago. And since then, he has avoided all questions about his family and even pretended to be adopted. But when he learns that he's going to be a father, he realizes that it is time to come to terms with his past. Pushed by his wife off a bridge. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Well, people can read this themselves.
I was interested. So you went off the bridge. What the? Read the real thing.
I'm sorry. Pushed by his wife and bringing along his best friend, Bruno, for moral support, he decides to reconnect with his family and share his good news, a humorous and touching film about family, friends, and remembering where you came from.
Wow. How about this? Saturday, July 20th, Them That Follow in the Wilds of Appalachia, widowed preacher, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Lemuel? All right, whatever, oversees a church whose believers handle deadly snakes to prove themselves before God, while his daughter has a secret that could tear their tiny community apart. This slow-burning film gives his character so much humanity that the eventual explosion it sets off is all the more powerfully felt. Academy Award-winning Olivia Colman shines in her role as a weary but faithful follower. That's Saturday, July 20th, 9:30 p.m. Them That Follow. You know, every day there are just such amazing films being featured right here at Stony Brook. So
there's a short film from Canada.
Yeah, they have shorts before all the features
this
as well.
This is called Toke is Cheap. It's from Canada. It's 23 minutes. Filmed by Kerry Vandergrind. A teenage boy who sells marijuana is met with an unusual request from his father.
And that's all they tell you. Here's a short on Wednesday, July 24th, called Homecoming, a film by Jennifer Blair when a college sophomore returns home to share some important news with his parents. Things don't go quite as expected. Yeah, you'll have to show up on Wednesday the 24th to find out what that's all about. So,
gosh, this is packed. I mean, so every night, this is what, Jeff Daniels? What is this? Guest artist feature? What is this?
Yeah, all kinds of celebrities show up, too. You don't know.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels is in some, what is this called? Guest artist. That's the name of the movie. Okay, that is a strange name for a feature. But, yeah, that is a U.S. film. All of that. Tour de force.
Well, there's more information at stonybrookfilmfestival.com. You can also call 631-632-ARTS. That's 631-632-2787 for more information. Or you can stay tuned to WUSB, and in the next half hour or so, Finn will be here, and he'll be talking to the head of the Stony Brook Film Festival, and I'm sure they'll get into a lot more detail.
Yeah, we could go on and on. There's so many interesting things. I'm just looking now. Oh, gosh. All right. Anyway,
all right, put it down.
Check
down.
It out.
Put it
yeah,
down.
No, it's so distracting.
Should not have given that to you.
It's like hearing your voice on delay. Okay, what else you got?
This
What's going on?
This is the distracting edition of Off the Wall tonight, that's for sure.
The gadfly edition. Okay. Serious. Come on.
I've got a surprise for you.
Serious business.
You know what? We just had Hurricane Barry show up.
Barry.
In Louisiana, turned into tropical storm.
Named after the 44th president.
Yeah. And next on the list, I think, is Chantel, followed by Dorian, Aaron, Fernand, Gabriel, Umberto, Imelda, Jerry. Hurricane Jerry, that's going to be fun. Karen, Lorenzo, Melissa, Nestor, Olga, Pablo, Rebecca, Sebastian, Tanya, Vaughn, and Wendy. That's the names for this year. It's my goal to have Hurricane Wendy come ashore, because that means you made it all the way to W. But here's my surprise for you. Hurricane Kyle.
Oh, yes,
Hurricane
I knew it.
Kyle is coming next
yes.
year.
Yes.
Next year, Hurricane Kyle. That's part of the naming convention.
No, it's going to be a good one. It'll be a good one, I promise.
Yeah, it really is. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be something. You know, it's going to be a Bertha next year as well. And
Bertha.
Yeah. Wasn't that a famous one? And in actually, what year is that? That's 2020. Okay, so 2022. There's another Hurricane Bonnie. Remember, we had Hurricane Bonnie during the filming of Freedom Downtime, and then there was at least one more Hurricane Bonnie after that. I guess if they're not really big hurricanes, they just keep reusing the same names. I don't know why they don't keep picking different names, because there are so many different names they could use. So that's kind of interesting.
I wonder how they enumerate the list for each letter. Are they like certain popular names or are they unpopular names? Or do they go with different themes for how each name is chosen per letter?
Yeah, it's...
Or do they just look at it each time, you know, distinctly?
Wow. So, yeah, Hurricane Kyle next year, so look forward to that. Okay, now, I guess we got to talk about the elephant in Washington, D.C., who's been getting all the headlines lately. Oh, my God. Just when you think Trump has outdone himself, he outdoes himself even more. If there's if that's a skill, he's got that skill for sure. But the tweets over the weekend, the racist tweets, it's funny. Watching CNN and other networks, too, but CNN had this incredible headline. Trump claims racist tweets aren't racist or something like that. There's no way you can look at those tweets telling people literally to go back to Africa and say that's not racist. How do you say that's not racist? Of course it's racist, because three of the people that he's telling to go back to whatever country they're from were born here in the United States, and all of them are American citizens, and they're all members of Congress. And to say that anybody who criticizes policy somehow doesn't love the country they're in and should go back to another country—it's we're in the 1950s, which I guess is that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to do, is go back to the 1950s when America was supposedly great.
Agreed.
It's
gross.
It really is.
It's gross. The whole thing. Gross. Ew.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I mean, that he gets this airtime is even more disgusting. I mean, we don't want to listen, but we have to because we've allowed him to assume this role, and here's the result, you know. And we get to shovel mountains of this stuff, and it's just another day. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, I'll say it. The very
but not surprising.
Not surprising. No. Now the four congresswomen. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Ayanna Presley of Massachusetts, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan.
All deserve an apology.
Yeah. And, you know, these are, I think, the four most patriotic members of Congress right now because they want to make this country greater and more just. And they're questioning things. Questioning is what it's all about.
And won't fall in line like your average politician. That's refreshing, and that scares, I think, a lot of people that are used to the status quo or want the business as usual or just their business as usual. And that's unfortunate because I think this really resonates with the broader swath of voters and people out there listening and paying attention to this stuff. And they're outspoken and establishing themselves. And to say I was hearing people, senators or whatever, comment on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lindsey Graham got in there a little bit over the weekend.
God,
it was
yeah.
So gross. Again, gross. But, you know, talking about people, spending a year or two, you know, warming up and distinguishing themselves over time as they become active in the government. And, you know, they can make it up however they want. They don't have to follow some unwritten code of not shaking things up for the first year because you're like Cory Booker or like some other, bland a representative or a bureaucrat. You know, these people want to make some change, and they want to do it their way. They want to be revolutionary, and I don't think that's such a bad thing. And but of course, it doesn't fit the narrative. They need to be the enemy in these times, and so here we go.
Yeah, you mentioned Lindsey Graham, and what he said.
What a foul human being!
He really is a foul human being. Here's what he said, which is almost word for word what Trump said in his tweet, which tells you how much actual individuality these people have. He said, "We all know that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and this crowd are a bunch of communists. They hate Israel. They hate our own country." It's funny how Israel comes first. They're calling the guards along our border, the Border Patrol agents, concentration camp guards. They accuse people who support Israel of doing it for the Benjamins, or anti-Semitic, or anti-America. All a load of crap. I'd like to use stronger words, but I can't. and this, and almost word for word the same words that Trump uses, which tells you they're just reading from the party line. It's disgusting, and it shows the cowardice that is inherent.
He's a tool.
He's a very big tool.
He is an enormous tool. He's Trump's tool.
Actually,
could be a garden tool.
I've got a. This is interesting. You want to hear a quote?
Sure.
Okay. Here's a. This is kind of staggering. Okay. I cannot do this anymore. The overt racism, the corruption, the anti-woman behavior, the incompetence, this is not why I became a Republican, so I'm quitting the party. Do you know who said that?
No.
No one. Today. That's who said that. Yeah, that was actually from a tweet by Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz. This is important. We need to recognize that the Republicans are not condemning this, and that's what makes this significant. Now, Trump has been accused of using a dog whistle before, you know, to echo racist tropes and kind of signal people that, yeah, I'm one of you. This is not a dog whistle. This is a megaphone. He's broadcasting it loud and clear now. And the fact that Republicans are not condemning it this time tells you how much he has advanced in the last few years. You can say, yeah, it's the same old thing, nothing new here. This is different. This is very different because it signals from the lack of reaction that he is gaining traction and that these people are afraid of him. They are afraid of what he will do if they dare to criticize him. They are afraid of not being reelected because so many people in their district now support this guy. This reflects a change in the populace, and that is what is particularly scary about all this. Now, I say the Republicans are cowards for not daring to criticize him. Democrats are cowards, too, because they're not impeaching him. They're not impeaching him for the same reason, because they're afraid of not getting reelected. We have to move past this fear of not getting reelected and actually work for the sake of justice. You know, Kellyanne Conway, why is she not in jail? She disobeyed a subpoena to show up to Congress. They're all doing that now. They're all in contempt of Congress, and they're just walking around, you know? Meanwhile, Chelsea Manning is in prison because she refused to testify against Julian Assange. You know, for regular people, regular law-abiding people out there, justice comes swiftly and severely. For these people, they're just allowed to flout the law and do whatever the hell they want without any kind of consequence. Those days have to end.
Indeed. Yeah, I believe Al Green has requested that the articles of impeachment go forth, but I'm checking.
Who's
that.
Al Green?
Who is Al Green? He's a Democrat from Texas, and he's a congressman who has he's been saying this for a long time, but I think it's he's going to continue with that process, or we should see evidence of that going forward this week, actually as a result of the latest developments. But there's a lot of other stuff going on as well, so something to watch. And indeed, Kellyanne also, I believe, is now being held in contempt, as you said.
Yeah, but what does that mean? You know, I'm tired of people just putting forth these statements and proclamations and things like that, but it doesn't actually do anything. You get all kinds of condemnations, you get all kinds of harsh words, but they keep doing it, they keep getting away with it. I want to see some progress.
Do you remember when she said, you know, when I dare you to send the cops or something?
Yeah,
it very well may come to
that. I want to see that.
I do, too.
I want to see her ass dragged away in chains. I want to see her kicking and screaming.
Like Julian Assange.
Yeah, you know what? It happens to Julian Assange. Why doesn't it happen to these people? They're as guilty. In fact, they're more guilty. They do more harm. They've killed more people. They've decimated more areas. They've vandalized all kinds of things in this country. Right? You know, we can go on for hours and hours about all the things from environmental to health issues that they have. Education. Oh my God! Oil drilling, they've ruined. It's like having a bunch of terrorists running the country.
Pretty much.
It really is. So, yeah, you know, if they're going to break the law on top of that, yeah, the president, he can break the law and get away with it because he's the king. But all these other people, why are they allowed to get away with it? Democrats, come on, stand up, do something. We'll support you. We will.
Yeah, we will support you.
No, he is a king.
No,
in his eyes, he's a king and is being treated as one.
This is not a monarchy. We don't do that.
Well, you know, it might as well be. It might as well be because he's got his damn daughter serving as a diplomat when she has no qualifications whatsoever. He assigns. This is what he did. You know, for Jared Kushner, he assigned the book report to fix Israel, to fix the Middle East, and he came back with something that was maybe a C+ at best. That's it. That's our diplomacy right now. You saw what the ambassador from the UK said about this country. That is what every ambassador is thinking. And the fact that he said it and it was revealed through a leak, you know, he did his job. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to assess the situation in the country that he's in. And because it got revealed, he had to resign his post. And, you know, Trump can pretend that that's a victory for him.
Yeah, well, we could be outraged that he said it if it wasn't true. But the fact that it's probably true just, I think, substantiates it, whether he said it publicly or not.
Meanwhile, you know, the Iran deal through those same leaks is revealed to have been violated by the United States simply because Trump didn't like the fact that Obama did it. That's what we're dealing with right now, the fact that he didn't like Obama taking credit for anything. He just wants to wreck anything that Obama put together, whether it's health care, whether it's a deal with Iran. It's got nothing to do with policy, and lives are being put at risk. All kinds of bad things are happening as a result. It's incompetency reigning supreme. And we're just supposed to sit back and take it.
Can you imagine a nuclear war in precipitated by the U.S. or our allies as a result of his policy failures with Iran stemming from his spite for Obama?
Yeah, well, don't imagine too much because it's not that unlikely. Things like that can happen.
Because he's racist and hates Obama, we are going to enter into thermonuclear conflict.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to be racist. He just has to be spiteful and a jerk. You know, you can take racism off the table if you want, but no, there's no reason to. But he has enough qualifications without even having race be a part of it for him to completely screw up the entire world, yes.
This is what I mean. I mean, I know a lot of people were duped into supporting him, but this is what I think I saw, what was foreseen. When thinking people supporting him were stupid. I'm not saying that everyone who supported him is stupid,
no,
but if you support that, his spiteful racism causing thermonuclear war,
mm-hmm.
that we precipitate because we want another invasion or we want to escalate with North Korea or Iran or somewhere else, or Russia for that matter, that spite stemming from his predisposition for racism would end the world.
Yeah. You know, if you think it through, and I don't think Trump supporters are stupid. A lot of people like to say that constantly.
But they supported
it. Yeah, but that doesn't make you stupid.
I think it does.
Well, you have to ask yourself, why would somebody support
this?
And I can see why, and I think I can point to the real stupidity.
All right,
it's the way people are categorized. It's a reaction to that. When you call people stupid, they're going to defy you no matter what, even if their position doesn't help them because they don't like being called stupid.
But I saw that coming. I mean, I think a lot of people saw that coming. And I think if you didn't see that as a possibility with this president, great. Let me dig through my bag. Let me get the kid gloves out. Okay. Let's talk about how they were duped.
Yeah,
oh, no, your information's bad.
But that's not something that's unique to them. We're duped on all sides constantly. That's that's nothing unique about these people. Look, there's two different categories. There are the intelligent, evil people, the Steve Millers of the world. You know, the so many people that surround Trump, the really evil people that want war, that don't care about poor people, that are racist as hell. And then there are the followers. There are the people that just want somebody to say nice things about them, and they don't particularly like the other side, who tend not to say nice things about them. And, you know, I was watching a piece, I think it was on Trevor Noah, about the Space Force. And all these people were supporting the Space Force. It made absolutely no sense why they would be supporting this, but they kept doing it because Trump was saying it. And that's the only thing. He could say anything, and they'll say, yeah, you know what, that's a good idea. Even if it's word for word what Obama said, they're just going to follow along because they see this guy as a friend. That's not something that's unique to Trump people. People will take – have you ever been in a situation where, you know, everything you say seems to be wrong, but someone else says it and all of a sudden it's acceptable? It's very common. And I think what we have some of this mass hypnosis that's going on right now where there are sides being drawn, and this side is the evil side. So anything they say is bad, even if it's proven to be good. And anything that the side that you think is supporting you, you give it more of a chance.
Well, and either side could be that position, or both of those positions are being held by both sides simultaneously, thus the chaos we have.
I just know, you know, when I talk to people...
Because I'm a stupid lib or whatever,
well,
right?
Well, I mean, there are stupid libs. There are stupid everything.
Yeah, but I just, again, don't think, like... thermonuclear war is something to gain.
I don't think anybody is pushing for that. And I think if they actually understood what the risks were, and if we actually understood what the risks were, we could agree on all of that. I just know when I talk to people and I listen to them and I respect their opinion, I'm able to reach a common ground. And we're not doing that enough because it's easy to categorize people as idiots and clueless people. But I don't think they're really all like that. I think there's a lot of people that just, they're afraid of change. Yeah, they got some racism in them, and a lot of us do, liberals as well. That is their reaction. They see somebody saying things that they believe support their position, and they're going along with it, mostly because the other side is dismissing them. You know, I'm not saying Democrats should compromise and be less liberal because they want to win conservative votes. I'm just saying you need to be able to address those people and realize they've got their opinions, they've got their concerns, they're not idiots. Let's have a conversation and get somewhere, because what we're doing right now, you know, let's say 2020 goes well. Let's say 2020, all, Trump is out and all his people are out. All those other people that support him are still going to be around, and we need to have a conversation then, if not now. So how's that going to go?
I don't know. They'll be around and just as stupid, right?
Okay, we got a lot to talk about.
I'm sorry.
No, you're being honest, but I think you're wrong. I don't think they're all. I mean, there are stupid people, but I can point to so many stupid people on all sides. I really can. And I don't know. We need to be able to talk to people with differing opinions. And I think that's something that a lot of us are losing, is that ability. People on the right, people on the left. We can't even be in the same room with people that have differing opinions or reach different conclusions. That's got to change before we can actually debate the issues that lead us to those conclusions. If we can't do that, you know, we're going to be at an impasse forever.
Sure. And all those people I'm listening to and entertaining and, you know, being respectful of, they surely would take responsibility for having started the conversation the way they have. I mean, I don't really feel like they're open to a lot of opinions, because a lot of what we hear about Democrats is that they're the bad guy as well. So, I mean, yeah, if they had come in and done a reasoned job at critiquing some of these things, if Trump had modified Obamacare like what Biden is now trying to propose, I mean, and made it right, I think that would have been a better way to be bipartisan, but that is not even in their vocabulary. So,
well, yeah, and Trump's vocabulary certainly
whatever.
Not. But when you reach out to people that need health care and you explain this is what you get, this is what how it works, why would they disagree with that? Unless it's being seen as my guy says this and I believe him, I don't believe or trust your guy. We need to get past that. We need to have the actual conversation and understand what the actual points are. I want to read something actually from Fox News, which is kind of illustrating what's going on today. Escalating tensions on Capitol Hill erupted into a floor fight in the House of Representatives on Tuesday afternoon as Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke in favor of a proposed resolution condemning racist comments by President Trump. And Pelosi's words were eventually ruled out of order by House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, who happens to be a Democrat. Yeah, the words used by the gentlewoman from California contained an accusation of racist behavior on the part of the president, Hoyer said, in a decision that technically banned Pelosi from speaking on the House floor for the rest of the day. The words should not be used in debate, Can you believe that? The Democrat-controlled House then voted along party lines not to strike Pelosi's words from the record and voted separately to restore her speaking privileges. So the votes effectively overruled Hoyer, as one Democrat member of Congress told Fox News, "We're going to defend our speaker." By the way, you notice how I'm talking. I'm saying Democrat member instead of Democratic. That's actually a thing that they inject into the language. Look this up. By saying Democrat member instead of Democratic member, it's kind of like an insult because you're not calling them Democratic, even though that's how we've referred to them over the decades and centuries. But Fox News and Trump, they all refer to them as Democrat members, not Democratic. And so in that story that I'm reading from Fox News.
Would you expect any less from the Republic Party?
Yeah, let's try doing that. It's clumsy. You can't say it as effectively. Anyway, the Democrat-controlled House, like I said, voted along party lines, not to strike those words. We're going to defend our speaker, they said. The dramatic episode began when Pelosi's prepared remarks turned personal, and Georgia Republican Representative Doug Collins rose to challenge her and demand that her words be taken down. The extraordinary rebuke was the first of its kind involving a member of Congress and a Speaker of the House in decades. That happened today. The scene then became even more bizarre when the chair, Representative Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat of Missouri, told representatives after a lengthy huddle that he was trying to make a fair ruling as to whether Pelosi had broken House rules governing decorum, but people weren't cooperating. Cleaver simply declared, "I abandoned the chair and left," a moment with no apparent precedent in modern congressional history. North Carolina Representative G.K. Butterfield, also a Democrat, then assumed the chair before Hoyer took the reins. In her prepared remarks, Pelosi spoke in frank and unsparing terms about Trump's comments on Twitter. "There is no place anywhere for the president's words, which are not only divisive but dangerous and have legitimized and increased fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color," she said. "It's so sad because you would think that there would be a given that we would universally in this body just say, of course, of course." She continued, with her voice rising, "There's no excuse for any response to those words but a swift and strong, unified condemnation. Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican," notice how she said it, "should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets. To do anything less would be a shocking rejection of our values and a shameful abdication of our oath of office to protect the American people. I urge a unanimous vote and yield back the balance of my time." You know, I wish she would say that about impeachment. I wish she would say that to do any less would be a shocking rejection of our values. You know, a cop pulls you over for speeding or for violating a rule of some sort. Did he say, you know what, he's probably going to beat this in court, not going to give him a ticket. What's the point? No, he follows the law. He gives you a ticket if he did something wrong. Trump did something wrong. These people are in charge. They should follow the law. They should do what is required of them.
Yeah. Throw them in the brig.
Yeah, you know, why not?
In the bottom of a ship.
Well, the day of reckoning is going to come at some point.
Oh, yes.
We keep hearing that.
Let me hold my breath.
When is it going to happen, though? When is it going to happen? When we get some strength, when we get some courage, when people start showing up in the streets, that's when things change. Look around the world. That's how it happens.
Stop being stupid.
Okay, fine.
Everyone. Everyone.
We've all got a big degree of stupid in us.
Stop being stupid.
All right. That'll be our campaign motto, 2020. Stop being stupid.
Let's stop being stupid.
All right. Why not? All right, folks. That's it for us tonight. OTW@2600.com is our email address. We'd love to hear from you. And we hope you stay awake. We hope you let us know what you experience, what you see. Share that information. Visit concentrationcamps.us for our list of all the places where injustice is happening.
Yeah, summer programs starting now.
See you next week. Good night.